Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good morning, dear friends, and welcome to our program today. Joy to be with you, as always, as we continue to study, to learn, to be inspired by this tremendous gift of the divine will coming to reign in our time. I think this is one of the greatest signs of our time, together with divine mercy, and in this Jubilee year of mercy, to give thanks to God for what he has given to us in our day. Let us pray and give thanks in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, this fifth Sunday of Lent, we hear in the prophet Isaiah chapter 43, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Heavenly Father, we need your eyes, we need your grace, we need your wisdom, your perception, in order to see this new thing you're doing today, this new gift to humanity, not a new divine revelation, but a new understanding of divine revelation, a new penetration into the mysteries of the Most Holy Trinity dwelling in us and reigning in us and coming to reign through us more and more fully in the world. Father, it is so new that it's hard for us to grasp it and be grasped by it. So we know that we cannot do this without your memory, your intellect, and your will, those of the humanity of Jesus. So, Lord, we unite our memory, our intellect, our will with that of Jesus and Mary, because we know it is only through, with, and in Jesus and together with Mary that the grace, the light of this gift can penetrate into our hearts grown weary and old sometimes from this world. Heavenly Father, help us to be open. Help us to be receptive, disposed to the newness, the new wine. Help us to be that new wineskin, to let go of the old, to shed the old skin, and to take on the new wineskins so that we can receive this greatest gift of your mercy that's ever been given to humanity, the gift of the divine will reigning on earth as in heaven and coming to do that now in us. We thank you. We bless you. We pray again for that grace, not only for ourselves, but through us for all the world. And we ask this through Christ our Lord and always through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, where the divine will reigns perfectly from the moment of that Immaculate Conception. Mary, help us to know what it means to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Saint Hannibal de Francia, pray for us. Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks again for being with us today. We have a wonderful passage to study together today about our Blessed Mother on this Saturday in the great season of Lent. Season of joyful penance. We're always joyful, even when we're trying to change our hearts and our lives more in to become more and more the image and likeness of our God in Jesus and Mary. So let's see what the Lord wants to teach us today, and just remember that it is a grace to receive it, and it is a grace to apply it, that is, to live it. So what we're asking for in this moment, in a very special way, is this grace for all humanity through us to receive this grace, this enlightenment. You see, this illumination as to what is God doing today. Received a beautiful email from someone in Ireland saying, you know, that someone asked her, you know, a priest, in fact, a religious priest said, "What is God, what is the Holy Spirit trying to do today?" Well, this is it. This is what God is about. This is what He's planned for us from all eternity. And this is what He's now bringing to fruition in our world. And certainly that's as true also of this era of mercy that Jesus has revealed in such a beautiful way to Saint Faustina Kowalska, but also in so many other things today. But I believe, I'm convinced, it is all summed up. It's all contained in the gift of God's will being restored. The kingship, the reign, the dominion of that will on earth as in heaven. That's the new thing that God is doing. That is the new wine He wants to pour into our new wineskins. Well, we're going to continue now with a passage dated April 28th, 1926. The title says, "The Creation and the Celestial Mama are the most perfect examples of the living in the divine will. How the Virgin Mary surpassed everyone in suffering." So remember, this is a great mystery. None of us are ever going to get this completely or perfectly, even in eternity, because God's will is infinite and eternal. So it's going to take us all eternity just to keep growing in this knowledge and understanding. So He gives us examples. He gives us parables. He gives us symbols and metaphors for us to understand it. The two, perhaps, as we hear so often, are creation. Why? Because the material world reflects the spiritual world. The natural reflects the supernatural, you see. And Mary, who is the highest and greatest and most perfect of all creation, because she is a creature, she's not God, she's not divine by nature. She has a human nature alone by nature. It's given to her. So the creation and Mary is the highest point of creation, the most perfect creation God's ever made. These are the two examples He wants to show us in this passage about what this gift really means. What is it in itself? You see, but we are human. We're here limited, finite here on earth. We're mortal beings in this material world with a supernatural nature as well, which is our soul. God has given us that Himself, the place in which He wants to live. But we're limited in that sense in our perspective by our nature. So He has to use our nature and the things in our nature and around us to teach us. And that's what He certainly did in the Gospels, isn't it? All of the parables, all of the examples He used were things people knew from everyday life. So simple. You know, there's the most basic kind of ordinary things were the means He used to teach. Well, it's the same in the Book of Heaven. Why? Because that's the way we are. It's the way we learn. So Louisa says, "I was thinking to myself, when my sweet Jesus speaks of His will, He often unites with it the sovereign Queen of Heaven or the creation. He seems to delight so much in speaking of both one and the other, that He keeps looking for opportunities, pretexts, and devices in order to manifest what His most holy will does, both in the celestial mama, that's Mary, and in creation." So it's true. We can hear it throughout the writings of Louisa, this constant, Jesus is constant trying to find, as He does in the Gospel, those ways, the opportunities, and the devices in order to teach us. And now He's teaching us the greatest lesson that's all contained in the Word of God. What is the divine will doing? It says, "Now while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and in all tenderness squeezed me to Himself and said to me, 'My daughter, if I do so, I have strong reasons. You must know that only in the creation and in my celestial mama has my will remained ever intact and has kept its field of action free. Therefore, having to call you to live in my will as one of them, I had to propose them to you as examples, as an image for you to imitate, for you as one of them, that is, as one of creation. We're all part of creation. You see, Mary too. We're one with Mary in this great network, this great web of God's universe that he's created. So in order to be able to do great things in such a way that all may perceive that good, unless they did not want to, the first thing is that my will must act wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that is completely, totally in the soul, without interference, without blocks, without hindrances, without our rebellious human will getting in the way. That's why he says in creation and Mary, it was a free field of action. There was not that interference. There is not that hindrance to the divine will operating fully and completely. He says, now look at creation, how my will is whole in it. Because it is whole, creation remains always in its place and contains the fullness of that good with which it was created. This is why it remains always new, noble, pure, fresh, and can share the good it possesses with all. You know, God created this creation whole. Creation did not have a will except for humankind and the angels. So the rest of creation has not interfered with God's will. It's doing what it was created to be and to do. And he says it's complete. There's a wholeness, you know, an organic totality to the universe, a perfect harmony and order to God's creation. And of course, the great scientist Albert Einstein explained this so clearly in that very controversial and now finally accepted theory of relativity, that everything is in perfect balance and harmony in the universe. He says, but the beautiful thing is that while it gives itself to all, that is, the will of God, it loses nothing and remains always the same, just as it was created by God. So what has the sun lost by giving so much light and heat to the earth? Nothing. What have the azure, the blue heavens, lost by remaining extended in the atmosphere? Or the earth by producing so many and so varied plants? Nothing. So with all the things created by me, oh, in what an admirable way does creation sing that saying about me, he is ever old and ever new. That's the Jesus is quoting St. Augustine there. Oh, beauty ever ancient, ever new. God is ever old and ever new. So he says, creation's always singing this. It's been around for a very long time, and yet it's always new. So my will in creation is center of life, is fullness of good, is order and harmony, keeps all things in the place wanted by it. Where can you find a more beautiful example, a more perfect image of living in my will, if not in creation? This is why I call you to live in the midst of created things as their sister, as their brother. You know, like St. Francis, call everything his brother and sister, brother, sun, sister, moon, so that you may learn to live in the supreme volition, and you too may remain in the place wanted by me, to be able to enclose within yourself the fullness of good that my will wants to enclose in you, so that whoever wants it may take of that good. So he's saying, you're a part of this creation. It belongs to you. You belong to it. You know, a beautiful letter of Chief Seattle. You know, we're all part of this great web, and what we do to the part, any part of it, we do to ourselves, and what we do to ourselves, we do to the rest of the universe. We're connected, you see. We're linked with everything else. Since you were endowed with reason, Jesus says you must surpass them all because they don't have reason. We're speaking of the earthly creation here. There's a heavenly creation, which are the angels. We are the earthly creation. It says, since you are the ones endowed with reason, you have to surpass them all. Remember, Adam and Eve had the dominion over creation. And you must requite your Creator in love and glory for each created thing as if they were all endowed with reason. It's a beautiful understanding of living in the divine will. Since you, dear friends, have an intellect and a memory and a will, you have to requite your Creator in love and glory for all created things as if they all had the capacity to do it themselves, which they don't. We do that for non-human, you know, vegetable, animal, mineral creation, as well as all human creation. So, because a lot of human creation doesn't use reason either, obviously. It says, so you will be the substitution for all, the substitute, and he says, substitutor for all of creation. Creation will be a mirror for you, which you can reflect yourself in order to copy the living in my will, so that you may not move from your place. It will be your guide and your teacher, giving you the highest, most perfect lessons in the living of my will. Isn't this why I think we can all identify so much with St. Francis of Assisi? Because he found that identity. He found himself in creation. He saw creation as a mirror of himself. St. Clare uses that same beautiful image to speak of Christ as our mirror. But Francis, certainly in Christ, but also in all of creation, found a mirror in which he could look and discover who he is, who he was, and learn then through creation to live in the kingdom of God. See, I think that is very much at the heart of who St. Francis is and what the divine will, living in the divine will, is all about. But then he goes on to the next step. From creation, he's going to move up another level. But the one who surpasses all is my celestial mama. She is the new heaven, the most refulgent sun, the brightest moon, the most flowery earth. She is the new heavens and the new earth. She encloses everything, everything within herself. If each created thing encloses the fullness of its own good received by God, my mama encloses all these goods together because since she is endowed with reason and my will lived wholly in her, the fullness of grace, of light, of sanctity grew in every instant. Every act she did was suns and stars that my will formed in her. So she surpassed the whole creation. And my will, whole and permanent in her, did the greatest thing and impetrated, that is, successfully implored, the longed-for Redeemer. This is why my mama is queen in the midst of creation, because she surpassed it all, everything else. And my will found in her the nourishment of her reason, which made it live as whole and permanent in her. There was highest accord. They held each other's hand. There was not one fiber of her heart or word or thought over which my will did not reign, did not have dominion, did not possess its life over her. And what can a divine will not do? It can do everything. There's no power it lacks or anything it cannot do. Therefore, it can be said that my mama did everything, and everything that all others together could not do, nor will be able to do, she did herself. She did herself because she had given her will completely in the word fiat. She had given her will completely to God's will, to let it reign over her, not just at the moment of the incarnation of Jesus, not just at the foot of the cross or at Cana or in the temple. She gave it in every single breath and instant of her life. So she encloses all of it, just as the will of God is intact, still there whole and entire, operating in creation. He's saying Mary is the only human creature of which that can be said. Because Adam and Eve lost that wholeness, that being intact, when they sinned, when they left the will of God, chose to follow their own human will to live there instead of in the garden and paradise of God's will. So Mary surpasses them all. And this is why she is queen of the universe. She is queen of heaven and earth. Because in Mary alone, a human will, the will of a creature, the only earthly creature, has given herself completely and received, actually, first of all, received completely from God the moment of the Immaculate Conception, and then responded and corresponded and cooperated perfectly with that gift that she received, which is the will of God. That's why she's our greatest advocate, our greatest exemplar, our greatest mediatrix, because Mary's the one through whom God gave us the restoration of the kingdom in Jesus, this kingdom of God's will. So Jesus says, therefore, don't be surprised if I point out to you the creation and the sovereign queen, because I must point out to you the most perfect examples in which my will has its ongoing, perennial, continuous life, and has never found an obstacle to its field of divine action in order to be able to operate things worthy of itself. Remember not the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new. Behold, don't you see it? Can you not perceive it? This is what he's telling us, dear friends. And only in the divine will is that newness of creation, the newness of God's eternal now, the moment of all eternity, in a sense, contained in the one eternal act of God, can it be fully present on earth? Only through the human will receiving it, accepting it, acknowledging it, cooperating with it, as creation does, as Mary has done here on earth before us. Of course, we won't do it perfectly. We won't have a false hope there. We cannot do it perfectly, but we can do it more and more perfectly. We can keep growing in our capacity to do it more and more fully, because our heaven is here on earth in that beginning to live in the kingdom of God's will. But when we die and enter the beatific vision, the region of God's eternal life in heaven, then we pick up where we left off and we will continue to grow. You know, our essential glory, the church has, is fixed. That's not going to change. But the accidental glory, that is, we can continue to receive this knowledge from God in another way, that is, from outside of us, and it can also help us to grow in our worship of God and our capacity to glorify God and share his glory. So he says, my daughter, if you want my supreme fiat to reign as it does in heaven, which is the greatest thing that's left for us to do for the human generations, it's the greatest and the last. This is the third fiat. There's only three, not four. There are three. Creation, redemption, sanctification. This is the one we're in. How blessed we are how incredibly blessed to be alive today, to be living in the third fiat of the Holy Spirit, that of sanctification. As Jesus says, the greatest thing that God's doing for human generations. Let my will have the place of sovereign, of king, of father, of mother. Live as whole and permanent. Let it be as whole and as permanent in us as possible. Do not be concerned about anything else, be it your incapacity or the circumstances of your life or the new things which may arise around you. That's many different things that can come and go in our lives. Because as my will reigns in you, they will serve as raw material and nourishment so that my fiat may have its fulfillment. Dear friends, there's nothing in our lives that cannot serve God's purpose. All things work together for the good of those who love God and seek His reign, His kingdom above everything else, first and foremost. So it can all be turned to good. It's all raw material. If God could turn the raw material of the suffering, the passion, the death of His own Son, the most horrible kind of agony the world has ever known, can turn that into salvation, to our redemption, to our own sanctification, then certainly He can change the circumstances in our lives as well. Louisa goes on, afterwards I was thinking to myself, it is true that my Queen Mama made the greatest of sacrifices, which no one else has made. That is, not even wanting to know her will, but only that of God. And through this, not wanting to know her will, dear friends, she embraced all sorrows, all pains, up to the heroism of sacrifice, sacrificing her own Son in order to do the supreme will. But once she made this sacrifice, everything she suffered afterwards was the effect of that first act. That first act, of course, in the Immaculate Conception, of Mary saying, yes, fiat, let it be done to me according to your will. And so everything that Mary suffered, all that she lived throughout her whole life, all of the most humble duties of being a wife and mother that she carried out without any fanfare, without any recognition, all of that came from that first act of her fiat. She renewed it, she kept it ever new in every moment of her life. But this not wanting to know her will is very, very beautiful. In a little later volume, volume 25, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception in 8th of December, 1928, Jesus said, how could all creation not celebrate? In fact, until the Immaculate Conception, man had been the disorder among all created things. No one had the courage or the heroism to say to his or her creator, I do not want to know my will. I give my will to you as gift, and I want your divine will alone as life. See, this is what reordered creation. Mary saying, I don't want to know my will. I give you my will as free gift, and I want your divine will alone as life. Dear friends, if you want a perfect prayer, the prayer that's perfectly in accord with the prayer of Jesus and the Our Father and all prayers of Jesus and Mary. Father, I don't want to know my will. I give my will to you as gift, and I want only your divine will as life. You see, that's the goal. That's the example of Mary that we want to imitate. Why? Because as Jesus says, it is the only way that order is going to be restored to this world of ours, both to our own lives, bodies and souls, but also to the lives of all of our brothers and sisters. Only in this way, when human beings like you and like me, as weak, as sinful, as unheroic as we can be, will say to God, Lord, I don't want to know my will anymore. I give it to you. You know it. That's all that matters. And all I want to do is receive your divine will as my very life. Not my will anymore as my life, your will as my life. It's a great way to start the day. It's a great way to renew our living in the divine will throughout the day, and a great way to end the day. Do it with Mary, dear friends. Unite that prayer with our Blessed Mother, the moment of her Immaculate Conception. Unite it with her in every moment of her lives, her life. You who are living as mothers have such a beautiful way to do that as wives and mothers. You're close to her. You share that with her. But of course, we can all do it because she's mother of all of us and queen of all of us. You see, this is what God is asking of us, dear friends, to not know our will. And what does that mean? You know, how do I go? Well, I have to know what I want, don't I, in life? Well, of course, in some certain ways, we have to make choices. But if we choose to let God's will make the choices in us, if that's my desire, if that's my intention, and all those little things I have to choose, and we all know how many, we're just faced with such a multiplicity of things in our lives today, in the world we live in, our families, and all the technology and all the communication that, you know, that we use. This is constant. You know, just in the choices at work we have to make. Well, yes, we have to make them, but we don't make them by what I want. I said, Lord, not what I want, but what you want. I want only what you want. If that's my desire, then he says, choose freely. Choose freely. You know, choose what you believe is going to be my will. And as he told St. Faustina, it will be my will. I'll make it my will because that's what you want. That's your desire. And I will turn it to good. I will make it turn out to be something beautiful, holy for the kingdom of God. You see, it says to Louisa, then don't be so surprised if I'm giving you Mary as an example. Follow her. Do what she did. Try to live as she did. Don't be concerned about all the other stuff in your life. Yeah, we gotta take care of things. We have to be responsible stewards. We have to be good caretakers of the earth and our families and our homes and all the good things God's given us. But don't be concerned. What he means by that, don't be preoccupied. Don't be obsessed with those things. And don't be obsessed with your own incapacity to do this. You know, we can get all caught up in, oh, woe is me. How could I ever, ever live this way? Well, have faith, dear friends. You know, Louisa was one of the weakest of all, and look what he did with her. Look at the lives of some of the saints. Look at ourselves, you see. So don't be concerned about all this stuff that's going on in the world. Yes, we do our part. Yes, we must pray. And yes, we must work, participate in society to do what we can, everything we can, to change it, be responsible citizens of this country and of this globe, this world. But he's saying, don't let that take all your attention. Some of us, I think today, in terms of politics, we're just glued to the TV wanting to see and learn everything. Well, I think it can become an obsession, really, a preoccupation. No, we need to be informed. We need to make very good choices about these things. But we make them by the power of God's will operating in us. Lord, you come and choose in me. Yes, I will use the good intellect, the reason, as Jesus has just talked about, to make this good decision. But I'm asking you to operate through it. I don't need to know what I want. All I need to know is what you want. And I give you my will to use to do whatever you want, to carry out what you alone know best is for me, for my family, and for the world. Dear friends, that does not mean shirking responsibility. It means that I unite my responsibility to the eternal, infinite plan of God for this world, and not to be, because my will is always so short-sighted, it's always very narrow-minded. That's the nature of human will, if it sees at all. A lot of times it's absolutely blind, as Jesus says to the Pharisees, you blind guides. You know, if you'd say, I'm blind, then maybe you'd learn to see. But because we say, I see, we remain blind. No, God wants us to see the fullness. This to me is what has helped me in my own life, my own spiritual life, my ministry, everything about it, is the opening of these horizons, this vision of things. From, you know, we can all get so closed in and narrow, this narrow vision of things, and limited to just the world around us and our period of history. Dear friends, it's so much bigger than that, and God wants us to participate in everything he's done from the beginning of creation to the end of time. And he wants us to do it for everybody, all to even with the saints in heaven, to help increase their glory, to help the poor souls in purgatory, to make the lives better and more holy for all human beings on earth today and ever to come. It's such an incredible vision, but it is the vision of the Catholic Church, which means universal in the communion of saints. Don't limit your vision. This is, I think, what gets us all into so much trouble, that narrow-minded attitude of the Pharisees, that minutia of laws and obligations. You know, yes, we have to be responsible, but live freely, live in the Spirit of God. You know, open your mind, open your heart to what God's doing in the world today. How blessed we are, and how few are even aware of it. You see, don't you yet perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert. You see, this is what God is doing today. In the desert of this world, he's making a way for the kingdom. Prepare the way of the Lord. Making a way for the reign of God's will to come back, to be restored here on earth. Don't be concerned about anything else. Everything will serve as the raw material and the nourishment so that my fiat, my eternal fiat, may have its fulfillment. Afterwards, Louisa says, I was thinking to myself, it's true that my Queen Mama made the greatest of sacrifices, which no one else has ever made. That is, not even wanting to know her own will, but only that of God. So in doing this, Mary embraced all sorrow. That's your sorrow and mine. All pain, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Up to the point, he says, of sacrificing her own son to God's will. But she made it because she gave her will to God and lived only by his will. Nor did she have to struggle as we do in different circumstances and unforeseen encounters and unexpected losses. It's a constant struggle to the point of making our hearts bleed for fear that we might surrender to our belligerent, rebellious human wills. How much attention one must have so that my supreme will may always keep its place of honor and its supremacy over everything. And many times the struggle is harsher than the pain itself. Isn't that true? The struggle not to lose hope, faith, courage, faithfulness in the midst of pain is a greater struggle than just bearing the pain itself. You see, we struggle against our human will, against our own inclinations to give up, to almost despair. And dear friends, it can happen. It happened to Jesus. And I wouldn't be surprised if in one way or another it happened to Mary. God brings us to the brink, right to the brink, the precipice, like Jesus about to be thrown off the cliff, Nazareth. You know, he can bring us to that brink. But those moments are the moments in which he tests us. He's asking us for yet one more fiat, one deeper fiat, one deeper yes to his will, because he knows how powerful it is in those moments. He knows how effective it is for the salvation of souls, for the reparation of sin, and for the glorification of the Father. The three purposes of our life in the will of God. How much attention, he says, that we must have so that God's will may always have its place of honor and supremacy over everything. I don't have to tell you how hard this is. You know how difficult it is, as I do. But dear friends, he gives us his grace. He gives us his own mama, Mary, to help us. He gives us the angels and saints. He gives us the sacraments of the church. He gives us so many opportunities to rise again when we fall. He gives us so many chances to be made new again. But while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior, saying to me, "My daughter, you were wrong. The maximum sacrifice of my mama was not only one, but they were so great and so many, for as many as were the sorrows, the pains, circumstances, and encounters to which her existence and mine were exposed." What is he saying is wrong is that statement in the paragraph before where Louisa says, "Nor did she have to struggle as we do." See, Louisa's thinking to herself. It's not Jesus speaking there. Louisa's thinking to herself. "Nor does she have to struggle as we do in different circumstances, in these surprise encounters and unexpected losses." And he's saying, "No, my dear, you were wrong if you think Mary didn't have to struggle." He says, "Hers was not only one offering. Hers was a constant suffering." He says, "Pains were always doubled in her, because my pains were also hers, more than even her own pains." See, Mary didn't just suffer for herself. She suffered for Jesus. She was so intimately united with him through the will of God. "Besides, my wisdom did not change direction with my mama. In each pain she was to receive, I always asked her whether she wanted to accept it, in order to hear that fiat being repeated to me in each pain, in each circumstance, and in each heartbeat of hers. That fiat resounded so sweetly, so gently and harmoniously to me, that I wanted to hear it being repeated over and over in every instant of her life. This is why I would always ask her, 'Mama, do you want to do this? Do you want to suffer this pain?' And my fiat would bring her the seas of the goods it contains and would make her understand the intensity of the pain she was accepting. This understanding, through divine light, of that which step by step she was to suffer, gave her such martyrdom as to infinitely surpass the struggles which all other creatures suffered and will suffer." This martyrdom of the will, as Jesus says, makes the martyrdom of the blood look easy. Because Mary's pains were doubled. But in every moment, Jesus says, in every instant, in every new pain, new encounter, new hostility, new rejection, new persecution, physical pain, mental, spiritual, he would say, "Mama, do you want to do this? Mama, do you want to suffer this pain?" And of course, what does he say to us in the Book of Heaven and in the Gospels? You are all my mamas. And in every trial, cross, suffering of our lives, Jesus says to us, my mama, do you want to accept this? Do you want to suffer this with me and for me and for the good of all creation? Says, and the understanding, see, Mary had this enlightenment greater than we have because of her Immaculate Conception, that she could see how heavy this pain would be, how incredibly great it would be. And so she would say yes in every moment, and that martyrdom of her will, he says, infinitely surpassed all the martyrdoms of the will of every other creature. In fact, he says, since the seed of sin was missing in her, the seed of the struggle was missing, so my will had to find another device that she might not be inferior to other creatures in suffering. Because having to acquire by justice the right of Queen of Sorrows, she was to surpass in suffering all creatures together. So because Mary did not have the seed of original sin, which is the seed of rebellion of the human will, he says that she didn't have to struggle in the way that we do, but she was still free. Then Jesus goes on, but how many times have you yourself not experienced this, that while you felt no struggle within you, as my will would make you understand the pains it inflicted upon you, but you would still remain petrified by the intensity of the pain. While you were undone, broken, crushed in that pain, you were the tiny little lamb in my arms, ready to accept yet more pains to which my will would want you to be submitted. Ah, did you not suffer more than in the struggle itself? The struggle is a sign of vehement passions, while my will, if it brings suffering, gives intrepidness, fearlessness, courage. So the struggle is a sign of our passions, you see, because we don't want to suffer. Our passions are still contrary to suffering. While my will, when it comes to make you suffer and suffer with you, brings courage. It brings, in place of the passions, the resistance, the opposition, it brings courage. And with the knowledge of the intensity of the pain, it gives one such merit that only a divine will can give. Therefore, just as I act with you, that in everything I want from you, first I ask you whether you want it, whether you accept it. And so I did with my mama. And this is so that the sacrifice may be always new, may give me the opportunity to converse with the creature, to be with her, and my volition may have its field of action in the human will. It's a beautiful way to understand, you know, why does it seem like the suffering almost increases in my life now that I've come to live in the divine will? Well, Jesus just said it. Why? So that in every new sacrifice, it can be a new opportunity for him to ask us, you know, granted, in all the happy things and joyful occasions of life, do we need to accept it? Most likely not. It's something we delight in. Our passions are happy about it. But in the pain and the suffering and the sorrow, he says, it gives me a new opportunity to invite you, to say like he did to Peter, do you love me? You know, will you accept this pain as my mama? You know, will you suffer with me? And he says, it's an opportunity to have a conversation, to dialogue with you, to be with you. And my volition may then have its field of divine action, that free, open field of divine action in your human will. So Louisa says, now I was writing what is written above, I could not continue on, because my mind was estranged from my senses by a beautiful and harmonious chant, accompanied by a sound never heard before. This chant called the attention of everyone and harmonized with the whole of creation, with the heavenly fatherland. I only write all this to obey. But as I was hearing that chant, my Jesus said to me, "Oh, my daughter, listen, how beautiful it is. This sound and chant is a new canticle, formed by the angels as homage, glory, and honor to the union of the divine will with your human will." As I was hearing that chant, Louisa says, Jesus said to me, "My daughter, listen, hear how beautiful it is. This is a new canticle formed by the angels as homage, glory, and honor to the union of the divine will with your human will." It's a new canticle, dear friends. This is the new song. This is the new heavens and the new earth in the soul of one who lives again in the will of God, as we were created to, as it was lived by Mary, Queen of the Universe, and now made possible again for us. It is the new canticle of the new heavens and the new earth. It says, "The joy of all heaven and all creation is so great that, unable to contain it, they play and they sing." After he said this, I found myself inside myself. It is heaven in our souls. There's no question about it. Is it a heaven we always experience as heaven? Of course not, because we're still on this valley of tears. We're still here on earth in this travail, and we're still struggling, as Jesus says, we're still suffering with our own human wills to give itself completely to God's will. But let us pray again together with our Blessed Mother every day, every moment of the day, renewing it continually. "Father, I do not want to know my will. I give my will to you as gift. I want your divine will alone as life." And may that not only be a prayer, may it be the way we live. May it be truly heaven in our souls, reigning here on earth as in heaven itself. May God bless you, keep you all, dear friends, protect you from all harm and evil. And may our dear Heavenly Mama Mary always be there to be with you, to console you and strengthen you, encourage you, guide you, and keep you always in the heaven of His will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.